Your legacy is about more than just investment returns. It's about the peace of mind that comes with knowing your investments are in the right hands and that you've partnered with an investment manager who has the right skills and experience to grow your wealth. Old Mutual Wealth is a world-class investment destination offering you a wide range of investment strategies and specialist wealth management solutions. Whether your goal is to grow your wealth, generate income, or preserve capital, Old Mutual Wealth selects the best and most suitable investments based on your investment strategy and their extensive research and insight. Together with your financial planner, Old Mutual Wealth's team of experienced specialists go to great lengths to understand what really drives you. Once they know your priorities, they model a strategy around your specific needs, supported by a multi-skilled team dedicated to taking your wealth further. Whether your goal is to grow your wealth, generate income, or preserve and pass on capital, Old Mutual Wealth is here to partner with you on this journey so that you can do more, have more, leave more, and be more. Old Mutual Wealth is an advice-led wealth management business aimed at providing financial planners and their clients with a full suite of industry-leading strategies and services. For more information, please visit their website on www.oldmutual.co.za/wealth. Hi there, I'm Aarti Vabikprasoon.
Hello, I'm Malika Peterson.
Welcome to
the Swan Effect Podcast.
Money makes the world go round, yet it's not so easy to understand its complexities, particularly when it comes to investing.
That's why Aarti and I are using this platform to educate, inspire, and help you gain confidence in your relationship with money.
So that you can better manage your finances and investments.
We are two women in finance.
That's pretty cool, isn't it?
It certainly is. You've been in stockbroking, private wealth management, asset management, and now an award-winning businesswoman who is coaching and assisting businesses with capital and strategic advice.
And Malika, you have a wealth of experience in wealth, excuse the pun, in financial planning, investments, and relationship management. So you're also at the coalface when it comes to where and how people are investing, both getting it right and getting it wrong.
And stuck in the grey areas too. Indeed, I've seen the many phases and moods of financial cycle and how our decisions at those times impact us. So listeners and subscribers, if you are looking to get unstuck, feel empowered, and make some strides in how you tackle your money, we are here to help you.
And it all starts with listening to this upcoming episode. Enjoy! It's officially spring, listeners, which means more sunshine for us in the Southern Hemisphere. Flowers are blossoming all around us. It's really a great time to declutter and spring clean. Oh, can you tell I have quite the spring in my step today? And are you feeling the spring effect too, Malika?
I'm absolutely feeling those spring vibes, like a 1970s hippie. And in the spirit of hippiness, we're going to spin things for a bit today with the topic, right? So wrap your heads around this, listeners. It's all about how you can create wealth by what you spend your money on and not how much you earn.
Oh, okay. You know what? I think we need to say that again, Malika. So what you're saying is creating wealth through spending and not just earning and putting away for savings. Okay, I think that feels a little bit jarring, to be honest, because it's counterintuitive, you know, if one thinks about it. But, you know, I think it's so good that we're bringing this today because it's a perspective that often gets overshadowed in this relentless pursuit of higher incomes and therefore I can put more money away. We get stuck into that kind of a hamster wheel, right? And I remember chasing for promotions and more senior titles, obviously coming with a bigger remuneration package. But I also remember spending a lot more.
Exactly. Yeah, you've got that exactly right, Aarti. Yeah. And I think when we earn more, we feel financially abundant, right? Yeah. So we spend on the more expensive consumption items as a splurge, as opposed to managing ourselves, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But as we'll discuss today, it's what you do with your money that can truly pave the way to financial abundance. Now, I want our listeners to be very clear about this, right? The way, and there are many ways, that what you spend your money on can influence your wealth in the long term. Mm-hmm. And if we can land this one concept with listeners, it will lead to financial freedom in the future. So let's kick things off.
Okay.
Let's start by talking about a common misconception when it comes to wealth. Many people believe that the more money you earn, the richer you will become. Now, the reality is that your spending habits and the choices that you make with your money play a significantly more important role in building wealth. Let's begin with the concept of wealth consciousness. This means being mindful of how you allocate your resources and understanding that wealth is not just an income, but also about the choices you make.
You know, just listening to that, I mean, when you now, and based on what you're saying, Malik, if we're shifting our focus on income to now a focus on spending, I mean, that's a significant mindset change for many, many people. Okay, so let's then perhaps discuss some examples just to make this a bit more real for our listeners. So this is how, you know, we can then make this shift work in practice. So, for instance, instead of obsessing over earning more money, let's actually start by scrutinizing our current spending habit. And listeners, some of the questions that you can ask yourself when you're thinking about this, first one is, are you allocating your resources wisely? So in other words, where is the bulk of your money being spent? And does it need to be spent that way? Sometimes we don't pause to think around this, right? So, for example, say you are typically purchasing a lot of clothing and electronics on credit. Now, remember, in previous episodes, we've talked about that credit still needs to be paid, okay? And then again, if you look on the other hand, you're only just making those like minimum payments on your fixed payments, like, for example, on your home loan. Kind of have to think, okay, is this money being wisely spent in this way, okay? The second one is, are you letting your money slip through the cracks? Okay, so where are those leakages of things you may be paying away unnecessarily? And examples of this would be subscriptions you've taken on your phone apps. I've actually been a victim of this myself. Or premiums that you're suddenly paying away, you've forgotten about them, and actually you're not wondering whether this is still valid. And maybe you haven't even questioned it before, but you know that money is going off every month as a debit order. The third question that you could ask yourself, listeners, is, can I spend this money better? Okay, so with this question, it starts going into that action orientation, which is what we're all about at the Swan Effect podcast. We speak about it all the time. It's now about making those conscious choices, such as investing in experiences that enrich your life, or in assets that appreciate over time, rather than spending recklessly on these temporary pleasures. We've spoken about this concept of delayed gratification, Malika, a few times now, right?
Yeah.
And I believe this is actually key when you're creating long-term sustainable wealth. And Malika, you know, it's making me think of my own sort of childhood and growing up. You know, I grew up in a family where it was about making those rands stretch, right? From pruning down what we ate, you know, so even like food, you know, what we eat during the middle of the month, because that's the leanest period, you know, to creating opportunities for treats, you know, those became really, really memorable moments for us. So a simple thing like going for takeout food, I mean, that was unheard of back in the day. It was such a huge thing to be able to go and get KFC suddenly on the weekend.
Yeah.
And for birthdays, for example, we would actually go to our local Spur. And I mean, that was like, you know, my sibling, myself, my parents, it was something that we looked forward to. And you know, that mindset was, you don't splurge unnecessarily. But, you know, if there was something that cropped up, like a family event, like a wedding, there would somehow be some extra cash on hand. And I'm assuming this is an emergency fund, perhaps. Never did ask my parents, actually. But there would be some extra cash in hand so we could help the family members. We would suddenly buy new Indian outfits. It was a special time. It's a special occasion. And I'm beginning to wonder, in this current situation we're in now, where we're living in a very on-demand type of culture, where you literally can get most things you want as often as you want, are we actually doing ourselves a disservice because it no longer becomes memorable? We don't attach as much meaning to it anymore. Maybe it's just the sentimentalist in me, Malika, talking. But you know, I believe that when you're spending purposefully, it really stands out and it means more.
I have to say this makes so much sense to me as well, Aki. Mm-hmm. And boy, do I completely know about making the rands and cents stretch by. Uh-huh, uh-huh. I can share stories around this. But the one thing that stands out for me was from my own family experience was this overt sense of investing in oneself in order to elevate out of those circumstances and have more, right? So this is what I'm suggesting is, another way to create wealth is through spending to invest in yourself. And this essentially means spending on your education, that next level of certification, diploma or degree that can be, you know, achieved. Alternatively, another way of investing in self is your personal development, right? You know, you could help, you could spend on assessments that help you to understand yourself better. Masterclasses or courses that help, you know, you to go deeper in any field of interest for that matter. Doesn't have to be your career, right? And then, of course, your health. Good health is wealth. Let's be realistic. Wealth means nothing without your health, right? And the reality of the situation is that you are able to achieve so much more wealth with a healthy body and mind, right? Than you are when you don't have a healthy body and mind, right? So taking up a fun project like makes you happy. My husband will tell you I spend way too much money on paper for scrapbooking, which is probably true, but it brings me so much joy, right? Doing regular checkups on your vital stats, prioritizing your nutrition, exercise, all of these things count.
I truly love these reminders because, you know, these are investments that pay off tremendously in the long run. So, I mean, you know, Malika, I do assessments. I run masterclasses. I'm a credentialed coach. I work with some of the largest corporates in SA, and I can certainly vouch for the impact I've seen this make, both on the individual level and even with teams. And often I find all these leaders, they walk away with a greater sense of purpose as a result. And then, you know, it motivates them to make even greater impact, which then snowballs, compounds, and it really just, you know, broadens your breadth of reach. So listeners, just to reiterate what Malika is saying, whether it's learning a new skill, improving your health, or acquiring other types of knowledge, you know, these are investments that appreciate over time and, importantly, increase your earning potential too. So I'll share my own example quickly, you know, of, for example, doing this podcast with you, Malika. You know, you and I, we knew nothing about podcasting when we started this. But here we are, we're doing it, we've learned some skills, and we're loving the fact that it's making impact with you, our listeners and subscribers. So, you know, take a leaf out of our page as well. If you want to try and champion something new, learn a new skill, there could be so much greater impact and potential that comes from it.
No, absolutely. And I cannot stress this enough, everyone. I've said it before. This work that we do on the Swan Effect podcast is absolutely my passion project, right? And definitely I've learned so many skills which I use in other parts of my life too.
I think that's very cool. And you know, Malika, there's another thing we've spoken about a few times on our different episodes, and it's about how spending on assets can generate wealth. So remember, everyone, an asset is something that puts money in your pocket rather than taking money away. So assets can include things like real estates, your stocks, even a business. And instead of spending all your money on liabilities that really drain your resources, focus instead on acquiring assets that have that potential to appreciate and generate passive income. And passive income in the form of dividends, potentially some additional profits on the side, you know, Sure, Malika, my dad was really good at this. I mean, he ran a little business. It was a small convenience store, but he had all these other avenues that brought in additional income within that like square meterage of his store. Things like vending machines, game machines, selling airtime. Do you remember the good old pay telephones? He even had one of those. There were so many other things. And I mean, I definitely got my sense of hustle from my dad. So, you know, I'm always scouting for opportunities to stretch my skills into other avenues. So, you know, it's important where we've got so many of these skills. Where could we actually stretch them to? So, you know, let's think about how we can even use some of these internal assets that we've got, as well as some of the examples I've mentioned, to generate income. And, you know, with very little service, very little maintenance, it's that passive side of it that we're suggesting.
That is such a brilliant story to share. And it's kind of getting the point home, I think, for our listeners, right?
Yeah.
So once you have an asset, be it a physical one or knowledge or stock portfolio, whatever that may be,
yeah,
you have to know and understand how to maximize it. And that's really the thing I want to land with our listeners, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to share an example, Ati. And this is about a stock portfolio.
Okay.
So, Anne Schreiber, right? Mm-hmm. She was 51 years old when she retired from her job, right?
Okay.
As a low-level auditor. She used to work for the American IRS. She had never earned a salary of more than 4,000 rand. $4,000 per year,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Now, she was an exemplary worker. She was awesome, but she had never received a promotion. Bear in mind, this is 1944. Women didn't really get promoted at that time. So essentially, this was kind of, you know, the way that it worked, right?
All right.
Now, the executor of her will, Benjamin Clark, right? He said that Schreiber, who was investing a small savings in the stock market when she retired, right?
Mm-hmm.
She basically started a post-retirement life with about $21,000.
Okay.
However, many people, as you know, when they retire, they're kind of like, oh, life comes to an end. I have no earning potential. This is kind of, you know, the end of it. What I have in my portfolio is what I have, and that's it, right?
Yeah.
Anne's story would continue for another 50 plus years. She died at the age of 101.
All right. Wow.
At that time, her investment portfolio was worth $22 million.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm going to say that again. $22 million from $21,000 mm-hmm. at retirement. So at retirement, she had a portfolio of $21,000. She was able to grow that to $22 million. By the time that she died,
okay.
Right? And she said she achieved a return of 14.6%, which is not enormous, right? This is very realistic. 14.6% per annum is very realistic. But it shows us a couple of things. Number one, she was frugal. She knew that she needed to spend her money wisely.
Uh-huh.
Number two, she was patient. She knew that it's going to take time to build up an investment portfolio of this size. Now, please note, guys, Anne was extremely frugal and extremely patient, and it is an extreme example. I'm by no means suggesting that. But even if we had achieved half of that, it would have been significant, mm-hmm. right? Even if we'd taken slightly less frugal decisions and been slightly less patient, we would have been living an amazing life with a significant amount of wealth, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Lastly, and I can't stress this enough, compound growth was on her side. She used it to her advantage and she absolutely understood it.
Wow, Malika, I mean, just wow. This is the eighth wonder of the world, compound growth, everyone, in action. And, you know, I do want to pick up on what you've just said about being frugal and patient and completely get it. I mean, this was an extreme case. But, you know, I can just imagine if she wasn't, like you said earlier, if she just sort of said, oh, I'm retired, life's getting shorter for me, you know, and lifespans may have been shorter than that. She was probably the anomaly living to 101. She could have easily gone and said, I'm just going to live out the rest of my life. I'm going to splurge my $21,000 away, and that would be that. This would not be the rocking story that it is right now. But, you know, that sort of scenario, let's call this the splurge lifestyle inflation, everyone. And, you know, this lifestyle inflation that I'm talking about is a major roadblock to creating wealth through spending. It's when your spending increases in proportion to income. So we've mentioned this earlier. Problem with lifestyle inflation is that it often leaves you with little to no savings or investments. Now, remember, that's crucial. You know, you need to keep your spending in check as your incomes grow and also prioritize your savings and investments. But obviously, building wealth through spending requires a long-term perspective. It's not about quick fixes or get-rich-quick schemes. No, it's about being consistent and making those informed choices over time, everyone. And with that, Malika, I think we're coming to the end of our show today. What would you like to add as your parting shot?
Yeah, today, I'm reminded, you know, whenever we get to the parting shot, I always think back and I think kind of what we discussed. And I think about how if there was one thing that I wanted the listener take out of what we said, what that one thing would be. Right? I'm reminded about our previous references to delayed gratification.
Uh-huh.
And how, you know, our inability to delay gratification has a significant impact. Like you said, it's a roadblock on our journey to the achievement of sustainable and long-term wealth, right?
Yeah.
So I think today my parting shot is that we always need to remain conscious of how we spend when we have money. Emotions can get the better of us, guys. Let's admit that, right? Mm-hmm. Let's acknowledge it. How many times have we heard about somebody, oh, I've retired, I've renovated my house, I've retired, I've bought a new car, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We have that urge to splurge when we have money. But spending on assets that generate more money is key to achieving financial freedom.
Mm-hmm.
How about you, Ati? What is your parting shot?
Oh, you know, for me, it comes down to a couple of things. And I think the overarching theme here is you need to have a bit of a longer term view. Okay. So, you know, everyone, it's important for us to understand that financial success, your financial freedom, that doesn't happen overnight. Okay. Unless, of course, you win the lottery, right? But the probability on that is very slim. So things like patience, things like being disciplined, you know, this is key when it comes to actually building your wealth through spending wisely. And as we've just said, wealth isn't about how much you earn. I think I really want that to also land with listeners. It's not about, you know, getting into that cycle of earning more and more, because as we've just said, we can spend more and more as well. It's about what you do with your money. Cultivating that wealth conscious mindset, as you said, making conscious choices, invest in yourself and your assets, everyone. Not about depriving yourself. Let's not get this wrong, okay? But it's rather about being a bit more strategic with your choices and aligning this with your long-term financial goals. Everyone, wealth creation is a journey, and how you spend your money can determine how far you go.
And we want to go far for sure.
Yes, yes.
Thanks, Ati. We've had another great conversation today. And listeners, get yourself on the road to spending with wealth in mind this spring season.
Yeah. Thanks, Malika. Chat again soon. Till next time.
Sharing is caring.
And knowledge is power.
Time for you to be daring.
And let your money confidence bloom like a sunflower.
Thanks for joining us. We hope you found these ideas and guidance useful.
Do subscribe, share, and write a review or send us comments. We would love to hear from you.
Catch you on the next episode
of the Swan Effect Podcast.
Bye for now.
Ciao.